He drove down, and he's getting fond of y'all, but he told Wally, he said, well, as long as you give me permission, I'll draw your well. He drove a well 190 feet from down the way just off of. The pipe's still there in the ground, just east of that house we see that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell him about out there on that marsh. We had it in the bay, that good water.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hot. Do you listen
to it? Well, these pollets going up and down the coast here can tell. There's artesian springs that comes from the mountains and get underground and they go clean out into the Atlantic Ocean. Now you go down here to Oyster, Virginia, and down there in that it was one or two of them. I was going down many times and held a bucket under his feet at the stream of water, big as your finger, running all the time. Never caught it, ain't night.
Uncle Nuthead one.
Yeah.
And he's yours.
Well, Alexander went there and dug that out and ruined one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one there. And then on up the coast, Father, I don't know of any much between here. Now there's one here under this island. It goes out here to Acid Pig. You know, they have good water out here.
Yeah, they had one fact.
It's under my house, but I'm not in the center of it. I'm getting brackish water, but I drove down 108 feet. And the first kind of water. It was a little hard, but you could use it. Yeah, yeah, plenty of it.
How about a river robin broken marshes?
Well, this one comes across there, robin broken marshes, and goes over to the ocean beach, right, a Green Run, right below Green Run. They got a pavilion there now, the state of Maryland, and trying to put a pavilion there. Maybe the Park Service did. I think they owned that.
Green Run you're talking about?
Yeah, good water. It's just above where the Bobby Hill Club was. Goes across there, and it used to be, somebody went there, right, well, it wasn't as far from the ocean as maybe a little further across the street. There was a point drove in the ground, and you could go down and screw, stick your mouth pump onto it, and you could keep pumping until you got water, whether it's pretty clear or fresh of water as you wanted, right there next to the ocean. I'll see that was that artesian spring coming out. Mm-hmm. Well, Jice Bunting out there on Littlemore, he drove a well right down in the salt marsh.
That's where I was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, is that the water that, is it the old Coast Guard station on Acetate? Because I drink water right out of the faucet out there. It comes from what they call a dead well. Would that be what you're talking about?
Well, that would be out here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a spring out there. They got good water there.
That's
water
why I think the only place they can find it.
Yeah, that's good water. Well, that's that artesian spring. We don't know how wide they are. Now, on this island, that's the only place that we found it on Piney Island. We drove the Lawrence got a little bit of it. Wild, it weren't as good as mine. I was more in the center of it, but actually crossed this thing 5 miles of water, and now there's going to be some seep in. The water was hard, but it tested good. I had to test it. It tested good.
But the remarkable thing is on them marshes that extend way out into bay, out the middle of Sheep Tail Bay, that they found this real good water out in an old marsh, way out in the middle of the bay.
Just like when you got in the middle of these marshes here and dig a well, you get good water.
Fresh water. How deep was that one? Do you remember
Bill? I don't know how deep they drove that, but I think they drove somewhere around 100 feet or something like that to the Bobby Hill Club. I've drunk it in another state.
It's a gunning club.
Yeah.
See, I'm not used up there. I got Bill from a guy.
We went up there and looked for the Green Run Inlet, though.
Yeah.
Well, I've been on the deck to the boat. See, this Green Run Inlet. That's where the people around Green Run. And from Chincoteague up to maybe Ocean City or South Point, there was an inlet to Green Run. And these sailboats would come in this inlet. And these people that lived around Green Run and around Littlemore, up and down these feet like their little house here and there all over. Well, that's what they done. Get 25 or 30 bushel piece and that boat come there. They'd all go and load this boat with what horses they saved.
Yeah.
And she'd sail to New York. Well, it kept on until one time one of these boats came in there. I forgot her name, but anyway, if you find the old Coast Guard record, you know her name. Anyway, she ran ashore in this inlet. And the inlet closed up. The sand formed around her and closed up. Well, her old wreckage is there. I've been on it, and I tried carrying that around on it, but now we didn't go too far, enough to the eastern. See, the land made out and growed out. I talked with Jay Bunton later after we went up there. He said she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's back in them hills, an old wreck that closed this inlet up. Well, when it done that, that fixed the people around the Green Run because their water's crashing. And my grandfather lived in North Beach. And that was just above Green Run, between that and Ocean City. And one day he said one of the neighbors went out, and there were plenty of clams, but this neighbor come in with his boat loaded with clams. He called my grandfather John Eddie. He said, John Eddie, he said, there's a plenty of clams laying right out on the bottom. He said, all you got to do is pick them up. My grandfather said, yeah, he said, in a month's time, the little one be dead. He says the water has been salt, and these clams is caught, and they've grown up. And now the water's getting fresh, and it's killing them.
That
And that's what's going after that inlet closed up, and that all them people had to move from Green Run. They had to, some of them went across to Stockton, Maryland, and some around Girdle Tree, and a lot of them moved to Chincoteague. That's how we all come to get Chincoteague. We need that vicinity because the water got salt.
Is that clam, if it was too salt, like when the inlet was ready, it could go down where it was fresher.
Right.
And then that's the reason he come up, was to get salted, because we're
yeah.
So
you yes, get to the top. They're laying right out there.
Huh. But all these places up there where clams were so thick, they're just as thick as a rock.
What about the size of them, Bill? Were they about the size of
all sizes, from a small thing clean up to, oh, great, big as they grow.
Now, what did your family eat? What if your family, what was your basic diet in the sense that you had the hogs, and you had, of course, the oysters, and did you use the clams yourself?
Oh, yeah, they'd eat clams.
Did you use them for chowder kind of things? Did you use them?
Chowder and fry.
Right.
Now,
the way did you cook
that?
Oh, I thought that was good eating.
Yeah. Clam pie. Yeah, they would pick clams just like you see an apple pie made, but right. Make a clam pie like that, and make an oyster pie.
They're good.
Well, now, did you have any game at that time on Assateague?
Oh, yeah, they had game the year round after the duck season was over. They were pretty wise about these things. They didn't kill the ducks in the spring of the year because the ducks would power off and begin to mate, and they knew they were running late. It wouldn't bother them. But maybe in the summer when those ducks, young ones, begin to grow up just by being a fly, they kill them and eat them. And then after the duck was over, here come the birds. Yellowlegs and curlews and robin's snipe and calico back on these beaches. You could sit there and shoot birds all day long. And they got all the birds they wanted to eat.
What was the preferred
bird? The basic food they had was bread and molasses with fried side meat. Fat meat or side meat, that was the basic food, and I'll tell you what you can do. You can work longer with that and that than you can any other thing. Down eBay, you know how it is. Take your plate in your lap and break your bread off and chop it. Have a cup of coffee and slice of molasses, slice or two of bacon, or it wouldn't be bacon, it'd be side meat, more fat than you'd get out of it. And that's what we would eat many times sitting there and like that.
Did you know anyone involved who lived here or was involved in any way, for instance, in the Civil War? Did you hear anything about this when you were young or anything? Was there any?
Not too much.
I don't think that this area, I don't think Chincoteague and Assateague were involved so much in this, do you?
No.
I think that it was more south of us and north of us, but I think that they were not quite so much. What happened if, for instance, what happened if you became ill, or what happened if you died? People were buried where at that time?
Well, they would have, what do you call them women now? Some old person, and they, what would you call them?
Midwives.
When I was born, we didn't have any doctors. I was brought in the world by an old colored woman, Aunt Hester Blake. She nursed me. The first person ever in the world ever nursed me was old Aunt Hester Blake, who called me.
Well, the white used to do
that. Yes, right. And, who is that, Matt, that you're
she
saying?
She was one of the family. Weren't no such a thing as civil rights and stuff. Our colored people are segregation or nothing. The colored people in the neighborhood, when Aunt Hester Blake come to my house to take care of me of a morning, why, she had breakfast with us.
Yes.
And sometimes she'd jump right in and help them cook it.
Yeah.
And they weren't the slaves. They were people
right.
Working around in the neighborhood. But
we didn't
know no difference between white and black. No, we didn't shun them. I played my lawn baseball with these wealthy Jackson, all these Jackson boys up here on these leaves that you wouldn't have talked. We didn't know anything about this segregation.
Yeah.
We all lived here together. Lived in peace and harmony and worked together.
Right in that segregation. You know, you're talking about someone coming over here or something, a good hot air one time.
Yeah.
Anyhow, when the little colored boys says, if them niggers come over here, we'll bust their heads.
And we had another one up the depot, Ellery Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you of the sandpipers that you've come
in? During the Civil War,